The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Super Value Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
We all know the score, well, most of us do anyway. An email from a Nigerian prince or a stranded friend looking for cash or bank account numbers. Standard practice is to delete and forget. But comedian James Veitch, he decided to take action and, if you like, engage. And then he wrote a book about it, and it's called .com. James Veitch, you're very welcome to the programme. Good morning to you. James, how did the book come about?
Well, I just received one of those emails, and I decided that it was quite early in the morning. It was from my friend Alex, a really good friend of mine who lives in America, and she, well, the email came through, and I thought, well, you know, why not? I could do what I think we've all always wanted to do, and reply to it. And I had the greatest day of my life doing that. It was so much fun. I just thought, what happened?
Wait a minute. Your great friend Alex in America. Explain me to that. Like, this is your great friend Alex in America, or is not your
No,
great
it is. Okay. So, yeah. You're right. Okay. I should backpedal a little. So, basically, what happened is this person, a scammer, had broken into her email account, reset her password, and then blitzed everyone in her address book with an email saying, oh, I've come to London and I have no money. Because she's in America, obviously. Didn't obviously count on it coming to me, who is in London. So it struck me as fairly abnormal for her not to mention the fact that, you know, I was around the corner. So I didn't know that it was a scammer initially, so I just replied. It was quite in the morning. I just said, what? Okay, and then immediately I got a response back saying, thanks for your response. I need $2,000. Please pay via Western Union. And alarm bells rang. And I knew what had happened. And I thought, well, you know, let's just see what happens. Because obviously this person thinks that I think it's my best friend Alex, so I can just say anything I want to. So I said, okay, before I do this, tell me one thing I've always wanted to know. How was I as a lover?
Yeah, right, okay, fair enough. Wait a minute. Before I even go back to that, how many scammers, for the book-wise, I mean, did you actually interact with?
Oh, so many. I mean, so I've got... I actually had to have about, you know, 10 pseudonyms. So for every scam there is in the book, there are probably about 30 that didn't make the cut because the scammer got wise to me, or, you know, it got ended, or Google shut down their email address or something like that. So I would say probably in the region of about 300.
In the region of about 300. And did you ever actually meet any of the scamming people?
No, I had a few conversations with him. So there was this guy called Solomon Odonka, who I had a wonderful chat with. I think I was shipping gold back and forth or something. I can't even remember. But I did get in touch with him and say, look, it would be wonderful, because I did a show last year at the Edinburgh Festival about it. And I thought, well, it would be great to have a chat with him. So I said, you know, Solomon, you know that I know that you know that, you know, that you're a scammer. So would you wanting to do a sort of interview with me? And he was quite unhappy about that situation. And I printed his response at the end of the book, and indeed on the back cover. So I've got all these quotations from, you know, The Guardian, The Independent, etc. And then there's Solomon Odonka, who says, you are a disgrace to manhood.
Yeah, right. Okay, but hold on a second now. Was this email sort of went back and forth, or was it a phone call?
No, emails. I had one phone call with someone, but it was very odd. I mean, you know, you're never sure whether it's the person you're actually speaking to who made the phone call.
I mean, like, do you think there's a whole network in, like, living in a room, like some kind of, you know, cold call kind of people, and they're all just scamming?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think's happened.
Their real name on any level at all.
No, well, when I got an email from Winnie Mandela, I was fairly confident it wasn't indeed Winnie Mandela.
Okay, fair enough. I fed you that one. Now, listen, look, hold on. The art of scamming a scammer, is that kind of what it's about? Or is it basically, you want to just see how far this goes, and the only way to fight email scammers is just to basically waste their time?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's the only combat, because there are vulnerable adults who do get, you know, taken in by this, and it's unfortunate. So I think the only way is to waste as much of their time as they're wasting of ours.
Well, the vulnerable adults that are taken in, is that one of the reasons why scam emails are so far-fetched? Is it actually the further-fetched they are, if you like, the more likely somebody who is vulnerable, if I can use that word, might actually engage?
That's exactly it. So they are deliberately ridiculous, because that is their target audience, are the people who will be taken in by ridiculous emails.
Do you ever think in any way it's a bit like all those kind of stations in the States, so like the kind of the Bible thumping kind of guys who fly around in fantastic jets and that, but who tell poorish people at home, or old people at home, or people who are alone at home, that they really need to send in their money now, and God will this, that, or the other, in terms of however they might interpret the Bible?
Yeah, it's confidence tricks, isn't it? It's the same idea. If you can spot them, then you can. That's a great idea, actually. That might be another book in that.
Indeed, absolutely. Yeah. Now, listen, look, just tell me. Basically, you're a bit of a kind of a Marvel comic kind of guy. I mean, like, you're fighting for justice. You're not wearing a cape. You're using a keyboard.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, yeah. It's really good fun. That's a nice way of putting it.
But like anyone who's ever had an email about, like, you know, or by the way, if you've had a PayPal account, is that kind of wide open to being abused?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Just, you know, make sure you keep your password, you know, hard to guess, and just make sure that every email you get, you don't click on it, because if you click on, if they'll frequently I would get emails that aren't from PayPal but pretend to be from PayPal,
yeah,
and they'll include a link on that. So just never click that link. Always go to PayPal.com. Same with your bank. You know, always go to Barclays.com rather than clicking on the link.
And often these things are, besides necessarily Winnie Mandela, but like somebody makes a spontaneous or an unannounced trip to a remote part of the world, are now in trouble and they need help, and that's a lot of the sort of stuff you would have dealt with.
Yeah, loads of that sort of stuff. You know, you obviously know the classic, you know, Nigerian prince that is, yeah, ubiquitous. But you know, there's also the altruistic widow. You know, the cache of gold found by a soldier. You know, I've had loads of them. There's someone shipping you golden diamonds, gold dust. I've dealt with, you know, lots and lots. And there's the Meta scam as well, which is amazing. This is the one where someone says, you get an email from the Nigerian government saying, I'm so sorry you've been scammed. I'm so sorry. We know this is really bad, so we're going to give you some compensation, but you just need to send us, you know, a couple of thousand pounds for us to ship you your compensation.
And what about the honey trap emails, if I can call them that? I'd say they're pretty difficult to deal with.
Oh, my word, they are so hard, honestly, because I want to believe, you know, beautiful girls, yeah, email me out of the blue and they're like, oh, I want, you know, I want you to, you know, fly, and they want me to pay for a visa or a flight or something like that. And but I'm trying to give them what they want because I want to keep the conversation going. And similarly, so I say something like, oh, I've, you know, I've got all this money, but it just sits in a Swiss account earning interest. How boring, you know.
In terms of what you do and comedian wise and that, I presume this fuels it. It gives you an awful lot of sort of, you know, time to study and time to actually maybe make up some good sort of, you know, I don't know, monologues, etc.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also think about this. I only wrote half the book, technically. I mean, you know, yeah, I say it's written, yeah, by me, but actually, potentially the same book's being released somewhere on the other side of the world, just the other side of it, you know. Yeah, it does, and I have had a show, and the show's actually at the Edinburgh Festival again this year, called The Fundamental Interconnectedness of Everyone with an Internet Connection, where basically I go through all these scams and similar things I do on the internet, and kind of discuss them and know, show how we are all connected sometimes.
Well, then, what's the longest connection in terms of back and forth that you might have had? Like, I mean, how many emails might you have sent and got back in terms of just stretching it out to the very end?
Oh, like, I mean,
would it have gone to 30 and 40?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes months have gone by and it's got a bit out of hand. With this Solomon, yeah, guy, I remember, you know, friends saying to me, hey, do you want to come out for a drink, James? And I'd be like, oh, I can't, actually. I think I'm expecting an email about some gold, you know. And it was getting a bit out of hand. So it can go on. So I'd say, you know, 30, 40, 50 and months of my time just replying to it. I'm still getting emails from Winnie Mandela, would you believe it?
Yeah, I mean, like, you talk about, like, you know, the fundamental interconnectedness of everyone with an internet connection, which is what it is. Now, in many ways, are you like one of these guys in some ways? I mean, like, do you feel even a kinship?
Sometimes, you know, because they're making something. It's kind of like dancing when it's, because, and also you can get sort of a, I'm the kind of, you know, the right side of it. If you're, they're my shadow, if you know, in some sort of ways. I think that if I'm, you know, writing all these things, and again, they're not having the time to scam other people because they're dealing with me and they really think that I'm a very good mark. So I don't think it's a bad thing what I'm doing.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. By the way, just as a matter of interest, there are 365 days in the year. What date is your birthday?
Hang on, why am I telling you this? Is it for my password? Are you trying to work out my password?
No, I'm not trying to work out your password. I just want to know what your birthday is, that's all.
My birthday is April 1st.
Yeah, I just thought, if your birthday is April 1st, this is kind of getting somewhere. I'm trying to sort of do a bit of psychoanalysis here. Okay, your birthday is April the 1st. Okay, fair enough. And basically, are you in any way, like, are you trying to prove a point, or is it just a platform for your own sense of the absurd?
No, I feel that it began off just as, this is really fun. It's like kind of like that cartoon, Mr. Ben, you know, where you can go in and you can be someone else. Like, your spam folder is a place of opportunity. You can just be someone else and you can, yeah, just start replying to these people. It's a ridiculous idea. But sometimes you can really genuinely connect with someone. I asked a guy he was talking about how he's buying my iPhone for his wife, because I was trying to sell my iPhone and he was sending me one of those fake PayPal payments. And I said, oh, you know, Godwin, how do you show a girl you like her without scaring scaring her away. And he said, James, you know, a girl like it's a man who is bold and goes for what he wants. You know, take your time. Don't be worried about girls so much. And I just thought this was beautiful, you know. So, you know, he's pretending to be someone else. I'm pretending to be someone else. But somewhere in the middle, you know, there's a kind of pearl of truth that comes out.
Yeah, that's brilliant, actually. Because also, like, you know, in terms of one of the ones I saw there, which you say, you know, your book, what do you think of my book? Please read my book. What do you think of the first 20 chapters and the last 20? Yeah. And then sensitive passion, you start. And you actually have a mock-up. The guy goes, that's very impressive. Now send me the money.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe that he doesn't realise how ridiculous that is. Because also, I put his name. It's larger than the title of the book. Yeah, I have great fun doing that sort of thing. Just making, seeing how ridiculous it can get and how absurd.
You know, but I mean, the sense of anticipation for the person at the other end, the sense of desperation for the person at the other end, where they think they might just be there nearly at this money that you're going to go to Western Union and send. It's a question of stringing it out and just seeing how long it goes. Do you ever feel at the end that might be slightly dangerous? No? Unlike that this.
No, I don't. Well, no, I actually, because I, at the beginning, I began off doing it with just my email address. And then, I realised very quickly that was a bad idea. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd get like 50 emails, or, you know, about penis enlargements, you know, all of which, most of which were, you know, only one of which was a legitimate, you know, offer. And then so I started making all these pseudonymous email accounts. So I have a ton of email. And, you know, I don't know, I'm not going to worry about this sort of thing. It's, you know, what are they going to do? You know, they're that angry, they're going to travel over here. I really hope they don't. But thanks for mentioning it on the radio.
Yeah, somehow I really doubt that's going to happen. But having said that, like, do you have little things written up above your kind of computer? Like things like, oh, this is how I'm going to do this, and string them out. Confuse, outfox, threaten, cajole. You've got to do all those things to keep it going.
Because remember, some of them don't work, and I just see what I can do, and I try everything I can to get them off book. That's my only main aim, is to get them off book. Because remember that I think you're exactly right. They are like cold callers in the sense that they have a script that they're following. They have a template, and I imagine what happens is once they get a good one, it goes up to like tier two support. You know, where I get guys who are slightly better at doing it, and then I just have to throw them off book. Which is why those ones where people say they're from Manila, they've been stranded in a foreign country and they are your friends. They're the best ones because you can say anything you want to. You could say, because they think they're posing as your friends. You can say, as I said, you can say, well, you said you've read the first 12 chapters of my novel. You know, what did you think? You know, and at which point they have to say yes.
It's that's brilliant. Some of that stuff is great. But like, well, Winnie Mandela, how is she?
Doing very well.
Well, I'm glad to hear.
Well, she seems a bit confused when she first got it, because she obviously said, you know, she needs 45. She's 45 minutes transfer out of the country because of her husband Nelson's health condition.
Right.
And I don't think they changed the script, unfortunately. So I said, obviously, given that he died 3 months ago, described his health condition is fairly serious. And then she said, kindly comply with my banker's instructions. One love. So I thought it was amazing. So I said, of course, no woman, no cry.
I shot the sheriff and I didn't shoot the deputy. I saw all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, like, you know, the usual thing of, like, as you say, a doctor in Dubai can perform a life-saving operation in Peking. You enrolled a gerbil into Eton. Isn't the internet a wonderful thing?
It is amazing. I'm still doing fun things like that. I mean, the other day I put up a flux capacitor for sale in Gumtree.
Fantastic. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know,
what do you call it? Was it Google? No, it wasn't Google. It was somebody who did it something recently that they, like, in terms of the terms and conditions, because again, this is the second time this week I've mentioned this documentary, and in terms of conditions, they put in that they own your soul as well as everything else. And 20,000 people are now, their soul is owned by Google. So they put it in for 24 hours. But like, hold on, just that thing I said there, I threw it away a bit quickly and you just passed over it. You enrolled a gerbil into Eton. Is that true?
Yeah, I forgot I'd done it, to be fair, because I just ordered the prospectus, because I'd just been out. I met a guy who was telling me how he went to Eton, and he just would not be quiet about the fact that he went to Eton. So I was a bit annoyed. So I came home slightly inebriated, and I ordered the prospectus for Samuel Gerbil, G'. And then Erbil, and then it arrived a couple of weeks later, and I started doing the application form. I said, parents, you know, I said they're separated by glass, and you know, all sorts of. It was just great fun. You know, I think I should probably put these up on the internet because I've just done so many fun things you can get away with on the internet.
That's the point. But listen, .com is published by Quadrill Publishing, and James, thanks for talking. So one last thing I want to ask is this: Room 103. I'd love to talk to you about that. You're talking about the Chelsea Hotel. You've written a full what about that? Was it a play?
That was a play I wrote, and we put it on inside the Chelsea Hotel, in room 103, which is the room in which Sid Vicious murdered Nancy Spungen.
Yeah, and Bob Dylan stayed there. Dylan Thomas has stayed there. Leonard Cohen has written about it and stayed there.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. Yeah, and so it was just so we put that on. It was a play all about those people. We got permission from Bob Dylan to use his songs, Leonard Cohen to use his, and the Dylan Thomas estate. It was just fantastic. All about the crazy stuff that went on there.
Crazy stuff seems to be your raison d'être. Listen, thanks a million, James, for talking to us. Good man yourself. Take it easy.